ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today, or rather tonight, we have been requested to speak something on Bhagavad Gita. As we all know, Krishna is the speaker of Bhagavad Gita. So, there are some authorities, they say that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the Supreme God. And the other gods are subordinate to him. Just like here, we have many gods. We see that Radha and Krishna are there in this altar here. So some say that Krishna is the Supreme God. So we will analyze if this is a correct understanding or not, according to revealed scriptures. One of the most authentic and original scriptures available in the universe, of which only the fifth chapter is still available, at least known to be available, that is called Brahma Samhita. In the Brahma Samhita, the supreme demigod of this universe, Lord Brahma, the creator of this universe, he states very clearly, Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishnaha Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakaranakaranam. He is explaining here to us that Krishna, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Krishna is the Supreme Control. And then he further explains, Satchidananda Vigraha. He has Vigraha, or form, which is Sat, eternal, Chit, full of knowledge, and Ananda, full of bliss. And then he goes on to further explain, Anadir Adir Govinda, which means that Lord Krishna is known as Govinda. Anadir means he has no origin. Sometimes people ask me, my students will write me, they will say, Guruji, what is the origin of Krishna? And I had to explain to them, if Krishna has any origin at all, it is himself. Because he actually has no origin. He is, the following word is, and it, first Brahmaji says anadir, and then he says adir. So he is without origin, and he is the origin of everything. So if someone wants to know, but what is his origin? Then the answer is very clear. His origin is he himself. He is the origin. Krishna is the origin of Krishna. He has no origin, in other words. And then the final portion of the shloka goes, Sarva Karana Karanam. And he is the supreme cause of all causes. So according to Brahmaji, who is the first enlightened being in this universe, you see, that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shiva, he came later into this universe. Actually, you may not know the history, but Brahma, he was given the duty to fill up the universe. He's the pioneer, now he has to fill up the universe by his arrangement. So, Brahmaji, he's able to have sons and offspring just by out of himself, he can produce them. If we want to have children, we have to make our wife pregnant, but he didn't have to do such things. From himself, he was able to produce four boys, four kumaras. And he wanted to be four kumaras, now they will become householders and have many children to fill up the universe. But being very advanced in spiritual knowledge, they said, we prefer to remain brahmachari, if you don't mind. We just want to focus on bhakti, on spiritual life. We don't want to get entangled with wife and family. So we will just stay celibate. We will not take up household life. So Brahmaji was so angry because he was supposed to populate the universe. And now his sons are saying, we will be brahmachari. We will not take wife. He became so angry that from his anger, Shiva came out of his forehead. So actually Lord Shiva, he takes birth from the anger of Lord Brahma. And Shiva, he was also, his wife asked him, Parvati, she said, my dear Prabhu, my dear Lord. You see, in Vedic culture, traditional Vedic culture, the husband and wife do not call each other by their names. This is some modern invention. Formerly, the wife, she would say Lord or Prabhu, and the husband, he would address the wife Devi or Goddess. Very respectful. Very, very respectful relationship between husband and wife. There was friendship and intimacy. But at the same time, there was great respect. So, Parvati, she requested, my dear Prabhu, my dear Lord, of all the types of worship, what is the best? So he said, Vishnu Aradhanam Devi, my dear goddess, my dear Devi, of all the types of worship, the worship of Lord Vishnu, that is the topmost worship. So that Vishnu, that is actually category. The Vishnu category, you see. Krishna, Ram, Balaram, Nrsinga, Vamana, Kalki, Nrsingadev. See, these are called Vishnu Tattva, the Vishnu category. And there is also called the Jiva category. So, the Vishnu category, that is the topmost position, that is the personality of Godhead. In the Jiva category, we have many, many gods in this material world who are very exalted devotees, actually. So they are given big, big posts. The god of the sun, the god of the moon. We even have a god who controls the blinking of our eyelids. There are actually 33 million different gods. Here you have a small sampling of the gods. But if you wanted to have a representation of all the gods, you would have to have a huge building. Can you imagine having 33 million altars? You would have to have a temple that was as big as the city, bigger than the city of Birmingham. You'd have to have golf carts so people could go up and down and for all the darshan on golf carts. 33 million altars, you can imagine. How many pujaris you would need to do all the pujas for 33 million altars? I mean, what's the population of the U.S.? I mean, you just have a huge staff to do all the pujas, you see. To worship all the different gods. So you may say, oh, how could I possibly do that, you know? I mean, if I offend one of them, something may go wrong. Because one god is in charge of, you know, everything in this world is controlled by some god, whether your bowel movements or whether, you know, the economy. I mean, everything is under some kind of a god. Everything has some god is presiding over it. So if you want to please all of them, that's not an easy thing to do. I mean, who has time to do 33 million pujas? I mean, even if you did one puja every 5 minutes, how many years would that take? We have any mathematical wizards here can run a calculation in their brain. 5 minutes times 33 million. and divide that into hours and see how many days and weeks and months, how many years that we have, you know, it would be, we don't live long enough to do 33 million pujas. It's not practical. So, what do you do? I mean, how are you going to please all the gods? Well, how many cells do you have in your body? And don't you have to nourish all of them to be healthy? Don't they all have to be nourished? You easily have 33 million cells in your body. So how do, when you feed yourself, do you have to individually feed each and every cell in your body? No. You just stick it in the mouth, it goes to the belly, right? The belly does its digestion with the help of the intestinal system and then distribute it through your bloodstream to all the parts of the body. So if we can worship one of the gods who is in the Vishnu type of categories, such as Krishna, Ram, you see, Narayan, in this way, Balaram, Nishinga. If you worship one of the gods who is in the Vishnu category, they have the power to distribute that bhakti to every single other god. So, this is the beauty of the Bhagavad Gita. Because the Bhagavad Gita, of course, that custom is there of worshiping different gods. It's like in certain professions, they worship, traditionally they would worship a certain god for their profession, as the presiding deity of their profession. That's traditional Vedic culture. But actually, if one simply worships the Supreme Godhead, Krishna, in any one of his expansions, you see, actually there are all different forms of Krishna. Whether we talk about Ram, whether we talk about Nrsimha, whether we talk about Narayan, these are different expanded forms of Krishna. This is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where a whole list of different forms are given. At the end of that list, it is explained, Krishnas tu Bhagavan Svayam, the original form of God, from which all the other forms are coming, that is the Krishna form. So, this is not our own words, but we are speaking the words of Vedas, you see. You cannot bring your own mental speculation if you want to become a spiritually enlightened being. You might get away with being a popular author or even a popular guru by giving your own opinion. I mean, nowadays anybody can say anything they want. If, and, you know, they can get a following, they have a following. But this is not the Vedic way. The actual Vedic way is Mahajano Yena Gata Sapanta. Once you follow the way of the great Mahajanas. And who are those great Mahajanas? That list is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Svayambhur Nadada Shambhu. Kumaro Kumara Kapilo Manu. Prahlado Janako Bhishmo. Balir Vayasakir Vayam. These are the words spoken by Yamaraj, who was also one of the 12, but he lists the other 11 in his statement. Svayambhur Narada Shambhu. Svayambhur, that is Brahmaji. Svayambhur Narada Narad Muni. Shambhu, Lord Shiva. And then he says, Kumara, the four Kumaras, Kumara Kapilo, Kapila Muni, Kumara Kapilo Manu, Svayambhuva Manu. And the next, Prahlado, Prahlad Maharaj, Janaka, Janak Maharaj, the father of Sita Devi, Prahlado, Janako, Bhishma, grandfather Bhishma, the great grandsire of the Kuru dynasty. Balir, Bali Maharaj, the famous king who was subdued by Vamanadev, the incarnation of Godhead. Balir Vyasakir, that is Shukadev Goswami, the speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Vayam, that is, Ramaraj is saying we. So Vayam is we. So that includes Yamaraj also, the word Vayam. So these great Mahajanas, we are meant, according to Vedic injunctions, to understand Vedic truth according to these great authorities of Vedic wisdom. Mental speculation does not have a place in the Vedic system of realizing truth. That doesn't mean you don't use your intelligence. You do apply your intelligence, but you hear from the authoritative sages. You hear from the bona fide spiritual master. You hear from the realized devotees of the Lord. And by the Shakti, by the blessings, by the mercy of the realized devotees, you get realization. You see, it's not simply an intellectual thing. Your intelligence will take you so far, but it won't get you into the transcendental realm. It will take you close. This is called, the Gita is also called, the system that is described in Gita is also called Buddhi Yoga, the Yoga of the intelligence. So it will take you close. But that last little gap has to be covered by hearing with faith from the realized devotees of the Lord. Because they will take you beyond the realm of the intelligence into the realm of the pure spirit soul. See? That requires taking shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. By the grace of Guru, then one will be elevated into that transcendental realm. So in that transcendental realm, you will eventually have personal experience of God. My spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, whose picture is here, and we have copies of his writings if anybody wanted to take home at the end of the lecture. We will also give you a blessing along with it if you want it for extra potency. But Srila Prabhupada personally instructed me, his disciple, sometime around the year 1973 or 74. He personally told me, he said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So this is the actual result of following the pathway of the great Mahajanas. The moment when you actually meet Krishna, the person, you'll know. There won't be any doubt. You'll actually be able to see how from the body of Krishna all the gods are emanating from his body. I mean, there won't be any doubt. You see? When you become self-realized, you'll see, you will personally experience the truth. This is Arjuna understood everything by his personal experience of Krishna. When you become fully realized in this process, given in the Bhagavad Gita, then you will personally see how Krishna is indeed the source of everything, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he directly states it in the 10th chapter, verse number 8 of the Bhagavad Gita. He says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and they worship me with all their hearts. That's what Krishna says. And this is simply a reconfirmation of what Brahmaji said. I quoted in the beginning of the lecture. Brahmaji said that Krishna actually is the origin of everything. He is the origin of all the gods. He is the origin of all the patriarchs. He is the origin of all the different species of life. They're all coming from Krishna. The scientists have yet to count all of those species. But it has been given thousands of years ago in the Vishnu Purana exactly how many aquatics there are, exactly how many plants there are, you see, exactly how many insects and reptiles there are, exactly how many birds there are, exactly how many beasts, and exactly how many varieties of human beings. Those numbers were counted long, long ago by the great sages. Or they probably didn't have to count. It was revealed to them. They didn't require, you know, counting. Getting a clicker and going click, 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 click. It was revealed to them. Jalaja Navalakshani. Jala, that is water. And Ja means birth. Jalaja. So one who is born from the water, that is called aquatic, you see. And Jalaja, Nava, that is 9. Lakshani, lakhs. In India, they still say lakhs. lakhs and crores. Here we say 100,000, million, like that. In India, the system still is to say lakhs and crores. That is from Sanskrit language. Jalaja Navalakshani, there are 9 lakhs of aquatics, 900,000 aquatics. And Stavara, Laksha Vinshati, yes. And there are 2 million, 2 lakhs, 20 lakhs, yes. 2 million. So in this way, everything is given in the Vedic wisdom. So it is very clear from Vedic wisdom that Krishna is indeed the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when you follow any process of self-realization, and you take it all the way to its conclusion, when you actually have your own personal perfect spiritual enlightenment, at that point you will actually meet Krishna. And you will know. There won't be any doubt Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's confirmed everywhere throughout the Vedic literatures in so many ways. Om ta Vishnu paramang param sada pasyanti suryodaviya chaksharatatam. Described in the Rig Veda. Now all the gods, they're looking to that abode of Vishnu. The Vishnu category, you see, is the supreme place. That Vishnu category where you have Krishna, Ram, Nrisimha, who are all actually emanating from Krishna, all the different Vishnu tattvas. The demigods know that that Vishnu category, that is the topmost position. So, instead of speculating, well, I think this, I think that, we should hear from the great sages. This is how we'll easily advance, you see. We've seen in India that they have this system. Many people cannot afford automobiles, so they are having bicycle only, you see. So they may work 30 kilometers away from their home. So how do, it's a lot of pedaling to do every day. So how do they go back and forth to work? They just grab onto a bus on their bicycle or a truck, and they easily go, you see. So instead of trying to become self-realized through our own endeavor, if we can just grab on to the great Mahajanas, if we can just grab on to the lotus feet, the bona fide spiritual master, by taking shelter of him, by following his teachings and his instructions, then it's very easy to realize the absolute truth. We don't have to be a great transcendentalist. We don't have to go live in a Himalayan cave or sit somewhere on the bank of the Ganga, you know, abandoning our wife and our kids, you know, and growing matted locks and not clipping our nails for 20 years. We don't have to do these kinds of austerities. You can remain with your wife and family. You can remain with your darling little children. Keep your career going nicely. But practice the system of Arjuna, bhakti yoga to Lord Krishna. Practice this devotion to Lord Krishna, and you will realize the Supreme Absolute Truth. We guarantee this. I've been practicing Krishna bhakti for 35 years. And I know your leader here, Madhusudana, from those way back in the 70s at 1111 Rosalie Street. In fact, 30 years ago, we first met each other. So we're always happy to come here to see him, see how he's keeping his Krishna bhakti spirit alive very nicely. Because actually, even all these gods here, they're all worshipping Krishna. You not be able to see it, but actually they're all worshipping Krishna. All the gods here are worshipping Krishna. They all look to Krishna as the Supreme. So, whether we worship Krishna or Ram, it is the Vishnu tattva category. And we worship the, and also I see you have Venkateshwar here, he's also Vishnu tattva category. Actually, the three central most deities you have here, all Vishnu tattva category. Here in the center you have Sitaram, and to the right you have Venkateshwara, I think, yes, and then Radha Krishna. So I'm seeing at least these three central deities of the temple. They are the Vishnu tattva category. So that's proper. Vishnu tattva should be in the center. So all the other gods can offer their respect and channel their energy, devotional energy to the Vishnu Tattva category. And this way everyone can be benefited by channeling our love and devotion to Krishna and his other Vishnu Tattva forms. In this way we can easily become free of all anxieties and achieve the supreme destination of going back to home, back to Godhead, and not taking birth here again in this material world. So we just have a few minutes left. I've been told to end promptly at 8:30, so I'm being very dutiful. I will do that. And we have 10 minutes left. If something I said did not make sense to you, now's your chance to raise a question. Because we really have a very good explanation for everything that we've said. We don't just spout off some dogma and accept you to blindly accept it. Not at all. We have very good sense behind everything that we're telling you, based on the Vedic wisdom, based on realization of the absolute truth. So if you have any questions, feel free to raise your hand and we will be happy to recognize you. Doesn't matter if you're way over there in the back or wherever you may be. Everyone's welcome to inquire. Doesn't matter if you're a young child or you're a senior citizen, you're a lady, you're an American, an Indian, everyone's welcome. We see everyone as spirit souls, part and parcel, quality in one in quality with the Supreme Godhead. So we respect and love all of you, and you're all welcome to ask your question. And don't feel bad if you might even, if you can't understand something and it doesn't make sense to you, we won't feel badly. We'll be very happy to help you understand. So, any questions? Yes?
We say that the soul is in the center of the heart, and also Paramatma is also situated in the heart.
Yes.
So at the time when we leave the body, the soul and Paramatma, both of them leaving the body.
Well, actually, the Paramatma can't really leave because Paramatma is all pervading within the material world. He's within every atom and between every atom. So even in a dead body, the Paramatma is there. But it is described as soul who is transmigrating in this world from birth to birth. The Paramatma is accompanying him from birth to birth. Paramatma is his constant companion. He's simply going, waiting for that day. He's watching the fruitive activities of the soul who's trying to enjoy this world, just wondering when he will give this up and decide to come back to his spiritual relationship with God. Paramatma is just waiting. He's facilitating you and your material desires, but what he really wants to do is facilitate your spiritual desires. And when the Paramatma sees that you're actually serious now to awaken your dormant enlightened consciousness, then he manifests externally in the form of the spiritual master. Spiritual master doesn't play a neutral role like the Paramatma. The Paramatma, you want to rob a bank even, the Paramatma will give you intelligence how to do that. Just like in Dallas, we had that famous bank robber, Dapper Dan. He was knocking banks off one after another for years. The Paramatma was giving him the intelligence how to do that. He was expert bank robber. He did it in style with a silver pistol. And he became like a folk hero because he did it in style in a nice suit and wingtips, shoes and silver pistol and a real fancy, cuff links. And he became a folk hero, actually. And certainly, finally they caught him, and then he put the gun to his mouth and pulled the trigger. But the Paramatma actually gives everyone intelligence for material life or spiritual life. But the external manifestation of the Paramatma, the spiritual master, the bona fide spiritual master, he's not here to bless you that, the pain will go away from your knee. You can go to a doctor for that. The spiritual master is here to teach you how to not take birth again. He has no other business. Even if you come to him to get the pain relieved from your knee, he will tell you, that I'm not for that, that's the doctor. Don't come to the guru to get you the pain relieved from your knee. Go to the drugstore for that. Was it CVS? Yeah, go to CVS for that. When you come to guru, you're meant to inquire about the absolute truth. Tad vigana tam saguru meva vikachat. If you desire to know that absolute truth, then you must approach the spiritual master. You see? Guru, external manifestation of the super soul, is to teach you how to get out of this cycle of birth and death. So the Paramatma will always be there. In the spiritual world, the form is Krishna himself. You won't need the four-armed, expanded form of the Lord in the spiritual world. You'll have Krishna there. You'll be directly there with Krishna himself. Any other questions?
On the name of religion, why there is a lot of killing going on in this universe?
Yes, in the name of religion, a lot of killing is going on. That is religion with a small r. Because, in other words, that is a misconception of religion. Srimad Bhagavatam says, dharma prajjata kaitavotra paramo nirmatsaranam satam. The very second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Srimad Bhagavatam is 18,000 verses. The very second verse says, this book rejects cheating religion. Immediately, the second verse, kicking out all forms of cheating religion, this Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. So, what they call religion nowadays is not religion, actually. It's religiosity. Or it's, you could call it churchianity, mosquianity, synagogueianity, mandirianity. It's not the pure original form of religion. The original pure form of religion is to become a lover of God. That's a selfless, surrendered lover of God. What they've done is they've taken that original pure concept taught by the great gurus of history. They have politicized it. Our group's better than your group. Ha 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 ha. You see? It's politics, power politics. They've bastardized the original pure concept of religion given in the revealed scriptures of the world. Christ didn't talk about becoming a Christian. He taught pure bhakti. You see? The actual original teachers, even the Quran, Lord Chaitanya had a discussion with a great scholar, a Muslim scholar. The Quran actually teaches the same principles as the Vedas. The other things that are properly accepted as the Quran are for lower level people, who are like on a lower level. But the Quran actually teaches higher level philosophy also. So actually all the scriptures, and even the Vedas have teachings for lower level people who are on the gross platform. All the scriptures are meant to elevate you to the enlightened platform where you don't see any difference between a Hindu, a Christian, a Jew, a Muslim. See, when you become a saint, that's it. A saint doesn't have a designation. A pure lover of God is not a Christian. He's not a Jew. He's not a Hindu. He's not a Muslim. He's not a Sikh. He's not a Jain. He's not a Buddhist. And he's all of them at the same time. You understand? So what they've done is they don't even know what religion means anymore. They've totally lost the understanding of religion. The world needs enlightened spiritual teachers, not paid salary people who propound sectarianism. What we need is enlightened spiritual teachers who do it as a voluntary service out of love, who teach the highest wisdom. This is called enlightened Brahmins, real Brahmins, as we had in the classical Vedic age, who were not interested in position or power. They were simply humble servants during the reign of Maharaj Chandragupta. Alexander the Great attacked India, but Maharaj Chandragupta He was able to repel the attack. How did he do that? He had a Brahman who guided him how to do that. This Brahman was his most valuable advisor, and this Brahman did not take any money from the king. He lived in a simple hut. You know his name? Chanakya Pandit. He's a very famous moralist of India. So this is the caliber of Brahmins that we once had in India, you see. They were not interested in any money, they weren't interested in prestige or power. They were simply humble servants, they would study the Vedas and they would teach the Vedas, you see. That is actual Brahman. And they were very liberal. They wouldn't say, well, you know, get away from me, your shadow just touched me, you know. Therefore you have to go drink some molten lead because your shadow just... They weren't like that. See, the Brahmins became polluted, and that's why people became Muslims. The whole Brahmin class became polluted in this age of Kali with caste consciousness. That, you know, if a Shudra walks down the street, they have to announce, there's a Shudra walking down the street, so all the Brahmins can shut their windows and their doors when he came by so they wouldn't see him. The whole thing was polluted. And therefore you have a Hindu-Muslim problem now. You see, now you have Hindu-Muslim terrorism problem in India. Because the Brahmins didn't do their job to purely just serve everyone. A Brahmin is meant to elevate everyone. It doesn't matter how low they may be. For a true Brahmin doesn't think, well, you're a scum, get out of here. He thinks, oh, you're lowly, let me help you come up. A real Brahmin wants to elevate everyone to the platform of Brahman. To understand, what is Brahman? He actually wants to elevate everyone to the position of Brahman. That's a real Brahmin, you see. So my spiritual master, he is the true Brahmin of India. The true Brahmin of the whole world. He has created a whole class of Brahmins. Even he has made Brahmins out of the Westerners. In India, they complain, oh, this Swami Bhaktivedanta, he's spoiling Hinduism. He's making Brahmins and sannyasis out of lechers. But no, he is creating real Brahmins. He is creating the real Brahmins, you see, in this Hare Krishna movement, who can actually give enlightened spiritual wisdom to everyone on this planet. How to give up this chaotic situation where we're killing the cows, we're killing the babies, we're killing each other. You see, we need enlightened teachers on this planet. Prabhupada has created a whole society of enlightened teachers who can lead this world out of chaos if only the people would listen to these leaders that Prabhupada has created. You see. Therefore, Vishnupriya Manaji, my wife here, this lady here by the drum, this is my wife, Vishnupriya Manaji. We are traveling all over the world. We are vanaprasthas. We are not grihasthas. We have given up. Even though we have a house, we hardly stay there. We are traveling all over the world and giving this Krishna bhakti. We just came back from Eastern Europe. We were in Bulgaria, Lithuania, Estonia, Latvia. We were in Western Europe also, Finland, Amsterdam. We're getting ready for another world tour now, going to the Middle East also, to Qatar and Bahrain and United Arab Emirates, and then on to India, then Malaysia, Australia, Fiji. So in this way, we're dedicating the whole rest of our life simply to teach this science, the absolute science of the Vedic wisdom that can save the whole world and put a stop to all the chaos on this planet. So that your children can have a happy planet to live on, and their children can have a happy planet to live on, instead of a world where of complete mayhem, you see, where the whole social structure is totally broken down. We used to think we were secure here in America, but the fact is Al-Qaeda is after this country, and they're after nuclear weapons. What's going to happen when Al-Qaeda gets nuclear weapons? What kind of havoc can they wreak in this country? We have to do something to bring a spiritual awakening on this planet so all peoples can come together in love and trust. So we are dedicating ourselves, and we are calling on all of you also to dedicate yourselves to the spiritual awakening of the global society. Please be a part of this. Awaken your own enlightened consciousness and dedicate yourself to enlightening the whole global consciousness. So that your children can have a happy planet to live on, and your grandchildren and their children, etc., etc. Because otherwise, we don't know what's going to happen. Just think of the poor people in Beirut, that everything was fine, and now they're living in a war zone. We're going to be living in a war zone in a few years. You know, this whole place could be turned into a war zone, the way the society is crumbling now. But here's something that can actually save it. If we follow the Vedic system, which ruled this whole planet in total peace and harmony for thousands and thousands of years, until the reign of Maharaj Parikshit, when there was he was cursed by the boy Sringi to have to die. If we can bring back that Vedic culture, that Ram Raja, by following the Bhagavad Gita under the guidance of enlightened teachers, then we'll have peace and prosperity for every man, woman, and child on the face of this planet. Even the animals will be well fed. Now in India, all the animals are skinny. But even the animals will be fatty and happy. You see? If we can adopt this. So I've gone over time, and I don't want to do this, because then I'm going to be asked to come back again. But anyone who would like to get further instruction and guidance, I have an e-course, a free course on the internet. We have thousands of people taking this course in over 100 countries around the world. And if you just go to backtohome.com, and backtohome.com, www.backtohome.com, and you can get in on a free e-course and become a self-realized person in this very lifetime by following our instructions. So that's it. We thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. And we have some books available. Where are the books available? If anybody wants a book, we will give you a personal blessing also. If you take a book tonight.
On behalf of Hindu temple, I thank you everybody that you came, and thank you to Swamiji. It's a tradition when Swamiji comes, we always offer Guru Dasana. So I'd like to request Minavenshara to offer Guru Dasana to Swamiji.
Thank you very much. Anybody who wants books, we have them available. A wonderful book, The Science of Self-Realization. You will be given a personal blessing.